right, my friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. We're just going over some of our latest episodes, some of the visuals that Mike puts together on here with the python and the eyesight support and all wrapped up in the swamp. It makes me laugh.
Those are big snakes.
They are big snakes. The guy caught, what did he catch? We were talking about 87 yesterday or something.
Caught 87 of them. You 87? Know, but so that's a lot of snakes. I hope he can make a lot of boots out of those things. That'd be
great. Should be able to do a lot of it as far as with the skin on them. So be sure you guys are staying up to date on everything with the show. And be sure to get the update. Sign up. First name, last name, email. Sign up for the Brower Show and the Health Masters news report every single day. Get that sent right to your email. So again, you guys are staying updated and you don't miss a single show because we talk fast and we move through a lot of information on here. So
talk fast. We don't talk fast.
I try to slow it down sometimes. Depends on the attention factor that I take.
I get complaints. You guys talk too fast.
I get that too.
Well, you know, we're kind of like a...
You want me to talk real slow like this, guys?
Well, we're both like, you know, cross-eyed discus throwers in a tournament.
Speak for yourself.
We may not set any records, but we'll keep you alert. See if you hit by a discus.
Shock put.
Oh, by the way, so Trump is going to sign an executive order outlawing mail-in ballots.
There you go.
This is actually a good deal. The only problem he's going to have now is troops in other countries. And what they need to do is just UPS them over here.
Can he legally do that, though?
I don't know. Here's what it says out of this. From a Breitbart article, it says, President Trump released a Truth Social media statement on Monday morning announcing he will sign an executive order outlawing mail-in ballots nationwide. He's also targeting the easily manipulated voting machines to leave no paper trail to back them up.
There you go.
He says, I'm going to lead a movement to get rid of all mail-in ballots, and also, while we're at it, highly inaccurate, very expensive, and seriously controversial voting machines, wrote the president. He added, these machines cost 10 times more than the accurate and sophisticated watermarked paper, which is faster and leaves no doubt at the end of the evening as to who won and who lost the election. Excuse me. We now have the only country in the world that uses mail-in voting. All others gave it up because of massive voter fraud encountered, he continued. He's right. I mean, we were finding boxes of ballots and, you know, down in the Everglades.
Yeah.
We will begin this effort, which will be strongly opposed by the Democrats because they cheat at levels never seen before by citing an executive order to help bring honesty to the 2026 midterm elections. I'm going to lead a movement to get rid of these ballots. At first, it sounds ridiculous. The Constitution clearly gives each state the right to manage its own elections, so Trump's executive order can be worth the paper it's only written on. Not exactly. First off, even after more than a decade of proving he could do what many considered impossible, starting with forcing Barack Obama to cough up his birth certificate, which is fake, by the way, people will underestimate Trump. Roe v. Wade, anyone? Iran's nuclear program, anyone? How about a total secure border, mass deportations, 7 peace deals in 7 months? This is all true, by the way. The tariffs working? Not really. So they bring in more money, but now the economy is really getting in trouble. Successfully suing the regime media. That's true. You did that too. Defunding NPR, gutting the Department of Education, bringing the Jew-hating Ivy Leagues to its knees.
did you add to that?
No.
That's
what it says. Breitbart's very, very pro-Zionist newsletter. You know, that's what it is.
Don't talk about the sacred cow.
I'll read it to you again in case you got, I'm not making this up. I'm going to post it. I've already posted it. You guys can see it. Listen, it says, the NPR gutting the Department of Education, bringing the Jew-hating Ivy League to its knees. I wonder if he's going to bring the Jew-hating South Park to its knees.
What about the Christian-hating universities?
Unbelievable. Well, the Jew-hating South Park, though, they're Christian-hating South Park, too.
They hate equal opportunity, just hack everybody off.
It's so funny. He goes, he's even on the verge of overturning birthright citizenship. So what's the play here? From a political point of view, Trump's doing what he's always done best, and that's launching a serious debate about something that Democrats and the corporate media had successfully labeled a third rail issue that is forever settled and can no longer be debated without severe consequences. They call you election denier, misogynist, racist pig if you say the election is wrong. Secondly, at this executive order is litigated in court, who knows what precedents will be set? What's the worst case? Be right back from where we started from. Now, that's true. As we are seeing with Russia and Ukraine, unlike every GOP president before him, fraud when they benefit from the fraud.
That's exactly right.
But when the locals allow for this kind of cheating, the result is disenfranchisement of the other voters, which is true. And that's a civil rights violation. And it is the jurisdiction of the federal government to ensure civil rights. Ooh, that's a good point. You'll note in Trump's social post, he's deadlined the issue for the 2026 midterm elections. Don't be surprised if we see a lot of judicial and federal action on this matter. One of Trump's secret powers is convincing people he's just bloviating. That's how he catches them off guard. In other words, they think he's just running his mouth again, and so they're not going to pay any attention to him, and they actually get something done. What do you think about this with these mail-in ballots, Austin? Do you think there's any pitfalls that we haven't discussed?
There's a whole aspect. I mean, he hit pretty nail on the head. I mean, that was a pretty concise article. I'm glad you brought that up and read that on there. The biggest thing that I think the fact of the matter is it's so ripe with fraud. We saw that in the election down here in Florida years back.
Remember when Gillum almost became president, governor?
And then there were videos it was getting leaked online. There were videos of box trucks showing up to areas at 2 o'clock in the morning
with ballots.
With no chain of custody. These guys open up the door and they're handing all these boxes out. Everybody, and they're slinging them in the door. Oh, we count another 50,000 ballots for Gillum. Where'd you even find these? Oh, we got a 12-foot gator in the Everglades. We gutted him. These ballots just appeared. They're here. It was so stupid. It was so out of control. And so, yeah, you're exactly right on.
You know, it's funny you say chain of custody. Years ago, we had several people saying that there were all kinds of crazy things in the COVID shots, including living organisms. And I remember I spoke to one of those people in depth. And I asked that individual, I said, did you maintain chain of custody of the vials?
But it's very important with certain factors. Okay. Same with ballots.
And because you got to know who had the product before you.
Well, and where the ballots are coming from, handling them, who's transporting it, with anything.
And I asked this individual, I said, did you open a brand new bottle of COVID? Were you the first person that opened it? She goes, well, no. She said it was basically almost an empty vial and had been used multiple times. I said, so multiple people had put multiple syringes into it. So you don't know if it got cross-contaminated. Well, I know it didn't. I'm like, no, you don't.
You don't.
You don't have the ability to know what happened to that vial before you took possession of it. Well, it had this living organism in it. I said, you don't know that wasn't contamination.
Well, in vials and ampules always have a seal top on them. Mm-hmm. So if the seal top's broken, there's a little bit of remaining residue in a bottle. You get it from somebody that hands it to somebody that hands it to somebody. And again, I'm not telling you there was anything good in those COVID shots. I think it was horrible. But you can't sit there and make these erroneous claims because you got a half-empty vial that's from, you know, eight different people changed hands.
Well, because the reality is that it's the same thing with these ballots. And that's why you use that segue. If you don't have the ability to tell you where these ballots came from, then pretty much guarantee you they're fake.
Who signed off?
By the way, this is important. This is pretty good. Christian revival, belief in God, triples among 18 to 24-year-old Britons. Christianity has experienced a revival among young people in Britain with the number of 18 to 24-year-olds believing in God increasing by nearly 200% since 2021. After decades of Christianity declining in Britain because of the Church of England, I may add, following to such an extent that in 2021, census found that the Christians had become a minority in England, Muslims had taken over, and Wales, amid the rise of atheism and Islam, there appears to be an indication of a trend reversal and possible revival in faith and Christianity in the United Kingdom. According to YouGov's tracker of religious belief conducted twice a year, the number of 18 to 24-year-olds professing belief in God rose from 16% in August of 2021 to 45% as of January of this year, representing a 181% increase in just 3.5 years. A smaller but still significant increase is also registered among those aged between 25 and 49 years of age, with the tracker recording a jump from 21% to 33% in 2025. This has coincided with a 56% rise in those who attend church at least once a month. That's huge, by the way, between 2018 and 2024, with the number of regular churchgoers increasing from 3.7 million to 5.8 million in Britain alone.
That's a big hike.
The increase was largely a result of growing attendance from younger men, with just 1 in 25 attending in 2018 to 1 in 5 in 2024. However, there was also an increase among young women, rising from 3% to 12% over the same time period. It means that the 18 to 24-year-old cohort is now the second most likely age group to attend church every single month. I know a couple years ago, I met this young lady, and she was all wrapped up in New Age stuff. And I started talking to her about God. I started talking to her about Jesus. She ended up getting baptized. Now she's a churchgoer. She loves God. She loves Jesus. And the thing that's nice about this is when you find people that are open-minded to understand what God is and who God is, if you teach them the right way, what Christianity really is and the power that we have that basically isn't us from what raised Jesus from the dead, they start to realize it's not just a fable or a folk story. It's real. And now another study came out also this past week, and it said that basically the people who are teaching, you know, evolution are just lying. And they asked the AI. They actually asked an AI on this question. This is a pretty interesting article. I posted it. You guys can read it. They told the AI, go ahead and let me tell you, did we just happen to show up, you know, by random chance? The AI says, no, it's not possible. It's the most plausible explanation of why we're here, because we were created.
Yeah.
By another being. This is not possible. We don't just evolve to become this. And that's what we're starting to see. And the young people are starting to see that also, because what's happened is they've had their lives dictated to them by their parents, who in many cases aren't churchgoers, and in some cases are churchgoers, but they're starting to see that a lot of their parents are lost, and they have no purpose, and they have no resolve, and they just get tossed to and fro, like the Bible says, from every wind of teaching. And they're starting to realize that they have no purpose in life without knowing about God. And so somebody comes up to them and they talk to them about God. Now, I will say this. As much as I don't care for some of these churches, a lot of these churches with these younger demographics who have younger preachers who come out and just talk about, you know, the great things of God have a tendency to attract more followers than the people that are telling everybody they're going to go hell all the time.
You're not wrong on that one.
Okay. And so what's happening is in England, there's a big growth in those types of churches, which is going to increase because the people who are younger want to hear this. Now, the problem I have with those churches, they still need to preach repentance. They still need to preach Christ crucified. They still need to talk about what Jesus did for us on the cross. They don't need to take the cross out of the church. But I'm good with a positive message, because my message on Christianity is very, very positive. You guys know that. I talk about it all the time. So that's what people need to understand, is that the old school stuff that basically puts you to sleep while you're in church is not something kids want. Not these young kids don't want. They want to be able to go to the church, have fun. I told my my pastor at the Lutheran church, I said, you know, why don't we do a youth service on Saturday night? We have a regular service on Saturday night, but it's traditional service. I said, why don't we do another one at 7 o'clock on Saturday night and bring in some people that can play some music, some musical instruments, and have a really good service here on Saturday night for the kids who want something to do besides run around and hang out with their friends and go drinking? He looked at me kind of funny. He said, well, that's actually a pretty good idea. I said, yeah, it is. I said, think about it for a second. If we appeal to those children, those young adults, it's going to keep the church alive and much younger demographics in the church. That's how I look at it. What do you think, Oz?
Well, everybody needs some positivity. And there's so much negative crap all the time in every platform and every social media that I think some people just get burned out. And they're associating church with just that dead energy, no positivity. Everything's negative, negative, negative all the time. Everybody's burning in hell 24/7 if you don't do exactly what you're told. And I think it turns a lot of kids off. I've talked to a lot of young teenagers and a lot of young adults that they've gotten sick of it, and they get sick of the corruption, all the churches. The vast majority of these bigger churches now have turned nothing into 501c3 corporations in order to launder money. I'll say it. I've watched it personally, and a lot of times these kids now, because of social media, because of the ability to transfer information at such a rapid speed compared to what we did 20, 30 years ago, you find out the truth and you find out things that are going on a lot faster than you used to. You can't just hide it in a hole.
You know, I would laundering money to me is a pretty strong statement, and I'm not saying it's not accurate in some cases.
Washing money, misallocating funds, doing things with the money that's not intended. I mean, okay, that's there you go, right? Yeah.
Because what happens with these 501c corporations, if they bring in $100,000, there's no taxes due on
that. That's exactly right. Okay? It's like somebody else in a higher tax bracket has to make $200,000.
But the problem is that a lot of them don't bring in $100,000, they bring in $10 million.
Right.
Okay, and then what happens is they use that money for expensive salaries, for nepotism.
The nepotism. conservatism and some of the church stuff's insane. I mean, I've seen churches before where, I mean, they got 30, 40, 50 people on staff, you know, and everybody's making 60, 70, 80, 100 grand a year doing absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. But anyways, I want to get on another topic here because this is a really big deal.
College
now.
Of peptides?
No, I was reading about college. Oh. Yeah, collagen peptides. But I got the 10-ounce collagen peptides.
That's all I said.
Be sure to check that out if you want the both the cans. That was not where I was going. I was just reading about it when we were talking. That American Academy of Pediatrics is now directly going against the CDC and RFK Jr., and they are now demanding that all six-month-olds.
There you go. I knew this would happen.
All six-month-olds and up have to get the COVID shot. CDC recommended against it. RFK Jr. recommended against it. They changed the shot schedule. Now, the Academy of Pediatrics on August 19th said that all young children need to receive the COVID vaccine. 6 months to 23 months should receive the COVID shot, regardless of prior infection or vaccination.
You know,
you can't. Well, but again, American Academy of Pediatrics are the same ones that are involved with Blue Cross Blue Shield and incentivizing their pediatric firms and their groups to order to make sure all the kids have all the shots all the time so they get their bonuses.
But remember, though, this has more to do with the fact that as long as they're on the vaccination schedule, as long as they're covered by the waiver. Reagan gave them back in the 80s, they don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as it's on the vaccination schedule, at that point, you know, they have immunity against side effects.
Well, we talked about it last year. So this is never going to come off easy.
No, last week we went into depth about what the vaccines really do. Here's the problem that I have with the American Academy of Pediatrics. Okay, a dumber group but people I've never seen.
Yes, and not from an education standpoint, from a cognitive functioning standpoint.
Well, no, it's reasoning skills.
Reasoning skills, fluid reasoning.
If I pick up this bottle of collagen and I throw it at that camera, I may knock the camera down, I may miss the camera, I may break the camera, I may open the collagen up when it hits the floor.
Yeah.
Okay, those are just side effects of me throwing collagen.
Right.
Okay? They don't see that.
No.
The side effects of giving a child a vaccine that could cause them permanent neurological damage, could cause them strokes or heart attacks or disease, or sterilize them, are side effects of injecting this child with an mRNA shot. They don't see that because their sponsors and their money people and their lobbying groups that are paying them to say this kind of stuff are giving them all kinds of incentives to tell the lie. So what happens, they tell the lie long enough, to them the lie becomes the truth. You have these pediatricians, and they give these children these shots, especially the MMR shot, and they watch their lights go out and become autistic, and they go, it's just part of the deal. You know, we got to protect the herd, have to have herd immunity, and we're going to lose a little bit of the herd. That's their attitude. And they know their lights go out. Now, they'll lie and say, I don't know anything about that. But they're lying because they've seen it. And then they pretend like they don't know it because they get their incentivized $100,000 to $500,000 a year from the insurance companies for 90% vaccines, immunizations, or 100% vaccine, whatever they require them to have. The problem is that's why they won't even allow you to come into their offices unless you get vaccines.
Exactly right. They'll kick you out.
They'll kick you out. And so
they did it to my daughter.
Remember, they were going to give her all the vaccines.
Shots. She's got a respiratory infection. We just need to check her out. Is she up to date on all of her shots? We need all vaccines. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, I can't see you anymore. So you're more concerned about my child being injected with a dozen shots at one time than you are just checking her lungs out, making sure she's okay.
You can't put her on the they don't want to do that.
No,
and the sad part about it is, let me say something to you. This is very, very important. Now, I'm not saying they're going to all do this, but I'll tell you, some of them are going to do this. Okay, if you leave that room, there's a high probability that kid's going to get shot up with something.
Ooh.
Now you think, they wouldn't do that. BS, they do that.
They did it with the COVID shot on schools. Remember, a bunch of schools got sued.
Don't say to me that won't happen. You know, I know when two of my kids are born in hospitals, I had to tell the staff, we're going to have, no, you're not doing hepatitis shot.
Hep B shot.
I said, you do the Hep B shot on my child, I will sue this hospital. I had to say that twice, Austin.
And
because I told them, I said, we're not playing this game with you. The answer is no, absolutely not. And so they didn't do it. But I had to get that vocal. Because it's standard procedure.
Yep.
They walk in with a sneaking hepatitis shot, don't even ask anybody. Because you've already signed that waiver when you put that child in the hospital, or put the mother in the hospital in order to have the baby. You don't realize, when you sign those waivers, if they go into new exploratory surgery on you, which, by the way, should never be anything but a last resort. I've seen people die from that multiple times. you don't understand that you've given them the decision-making ability while you're under anesthesia to do whatever they feel necessary.
That's exactly right.
You go, well, you didn't say, yeah, why don't you read the fine print? You're under anesthesia. Somebody's got to make a choice, and you're leaving it to the doctor to make that decision for you.
You'll like this one. This is speaking of lawsuits, the CDC for the first time, and I have no idea why it took this long, the CDC is now hit with a lawsuit over its complete failure to test the cumulative effect of 72-dose childhood vaccines.
About time.
We've talked about this for decades, and Dr. Paul Thompson and Kenneth Stroller, Stand for Health Freedom, are suing the CDC, alleging the agency's failure to test the cumulative effects of 72 vaccines. Attorney Rick Jeff, who represents the plaintiffs, said the lawsuit goes to the heart of the CDC's immunization program, a 72-plus dose medical intervention schedule that has never been tested in history. There is not a single trial, single test, single study that tests these injections on a cumulative basis, meaning what happens when the individual human being, animal, lab rat, raccoon, anything, nothing's been tested on what 72 shots do to a living organism in conjunction.
Well, it's all that aluminum.
Never.
It's all that adjuvants.
Well, think about that for
a
second.
I know.
This has been going on for 40 years now, and there's not even an animal trial. An animal trial.
We covered it last week. The tests themselves, the two prove they're safe, are tested against other vaccines.
So that's one vaccine.
So if you take a vaccine that kills 10 out of 100 people, and you test your new vaccine and it kills 10 out of 100 people, and the other vaccine that kills 10 out of 100 people is considered safe, now yours is considered safe, though it kills 10 out of 100 people.
Says the CDC nor any medical body has ever studied the combined effects and accumulating dangers of administering all these vaccines on any living being. The facts establish a continuing public health outrage hiding in plain sight. America administers more vaccines than any nation on earth combined while producing the sickest children in the developed world. Yet the CDC demands proof of harm while refusing to conduct the studies that could provide it. You hear what I just said? The CDC demands proof of harm. We need to see that there's dangers of these shots and cumulative effects.
But we
will never approve, we will never conduct, and we will never grant any money to actually look at the studies that could provide it. You got to think how convoluted that is. Proof of harm. No, but you're not allowed to test proof of harm. How are we supposed to figure it out? Well, you can't.
Remember, the federal government just purged all the databases of all the people who took the COVID shot and all the side effects.
I told you, I said there's a backside of that they're getting rid of.
Yeah, because all the data's gone now.
Now there's no data to show how many people got the shot.
How many got sick.
How many got shot, yeah.
By the way, here's a little bit of pop culture trivia, mental candy.
There we go.
Pop star Jade, whoever the heck that is, and I even asked you if you knew who that was.
I don't know.
I've never heard of it. Hey, Lana, have you ever heard of pop star Jade? Richard? Well, I don't know why this girl made the front cover of Breitbart.
Ask me about the 76-millimeter turbos on the new ZR1 Corvette that just came out. I'll explain to you the whole engine layout on that motor. Jade, don't know anything about him.
Okay, Pop. Now listen, this is what she said. Now she goes, pop star Jade shames white, straight, privileged singers who don't push politics, who aren't gay, who aren't black. Okay, wait a minute. English pop star, she's English, whose real name is Jade Thirlwall, slams white, straight, and privileged musicians who don't push politics into their fans. It's very easy for someone who's white and straight and privileged to say that, the Oops singer said. I don't think you can be a pop artist and cover your eyes. Jade, a singer in the British group Little Mix, and focuses on LGBTQ pro-Palestinian issues. Oh, that's why they're hammering her, because she's pro-Palestinian.
But she's pro-gay.
This is Breitbart.
The
pop star went on to recall having heard fellow English singer Matty Healy say that he doesn't want to be political, which she said she found disappointing. It's very easy for someone who's white and straight and privileged to say that, Jade said before sarcastically adding, good for you, hun. Okay, whoever hun's supposed to be. During one of her performances at the Glastonbury Music Festival, Jade reportedly let she said some bad words. Chant involving issues such as reform, welfare cuts, and the alleged silencing of protests and selling weaponry. Oh, so she's against what's going on in Ukraine, too. Yeah, there you go. And against what's going on in Palestine. I was ready for backlash from the right kind of people, the Sweet Melody singer said. I saw a lot of people saying, "You Glastonbury set was really good until you got political," or, "I used to be a fan of yours until you got political." But, hun, you were never a fan because I've always piped up, Jade asserted. In 2015, Jade commandeered the official X, then Twitter account of Little Mix and issued a post declaring that she was truly saddened and ashamed by the UK Parliament voting in favor of airstrikes against ISIS targets in Syria. Okay, so she's probably Muslim. She was around 9/11, I first saw the hand of Islamophobia, there you go, that my granddad experienced, and as a somewhat of Arab heritage, yep, she's Muslim, I've seen people... I've seen people
turning bubble gum to chew on, dude.
This turned out of this is not bubble gum now. It's turned into some stuff that she's saying is true. As 9/11, I first saw the Islamophobia that my granddad experienced, and as somewhat of Arab heritage, I have seen people turning a blind eye to the Middle Eastern tragedy. So I have to agree with her on about three quarters of what she said, except for the fact that if you're white and straight. And you're basically a homophobe. So, you know, you basically need to, you know, run your mouth. I mean, so, but she is right about one thing, though, Austin. I will say this to her. And, you know, Candace Owens proved it, too. Okay. And everybody knows who Candace Owens is. You know, when Candace Owens started talking about what was going on over there in Palestine and started talking about what was going on with Trump and started talking on about what was going on in Israel,
yeah.
And started talking about what was going on with Epstein. A lot of people started disliking her.
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is she's still telling the truth on everything that she says that I can find. I've never seen her say anything bad. The other day I was reading this article about Martin Luther, something he had written 500 years ago. And he was talking about the Sabbath day Kabbalah's Luciferian synagogue of Satan, though we didn't call them that, and their lies and all the stuff they talked about. And I was reading through it, and I started thinking, everything he's saying here is right based on Scripture. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. But you know, he got jammed and pushed really hard back then, even then, for what he was saying. Because a lot of times people were saying that a lot of these Sabbath day Kabbalah, Luciferian synagogue of Satan people were poisoning the wells of Christians during the bubonic plague. Yeah.
Horrible.
No, they were throwing dead rats into the wells.
And then everybody drinks the water and they got
the plague. Yeah. And they really did that, by the way. And the crazy part about it is you think, well, that's how much they hated Christianity in the Christian settlements. They would actually contaminate. Because remember, back then, they didn't have a deep well that pumped water. They had an open well. They took it out with pails.
Right.
And so you throw a couple of dead rats down in there, that whole well's contaminated now.
I know they used to take the catapults and sling the dead bodies that were infected over the walls of, like, basically every place they were trying to invade, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty nasty. This is something I want to cover, too. I didn't know anything about Roblox.
I've never heard of it.
It's huge. Apparently 380 million users use it every single month. I'm just giving parents a heads up on this because I didn't know anything about it. Somebody sent this to me last week. It was from the Vigilant Fox. And they said every month 380 million users log into Roblox, the massively popular mobile and console game among children. It boasts many custom-made games that users... they could even count, giving Roblox virtually infinite replayability. A horrific example, though, of how pedophiles have infiltrated Roblox, they said, is a XYZ public bathroom simulator, a game where it's commonplace to see naked avatars showering with kids. I didn't even know this stuff was going on with the video game thing, which shows you how weird it's getting. They said the whole premise of the game is basically exposing how many predators are on here. It's actually unreal. Parents aren't aware of this. I get emails from kids daily about the horrible stuff they're exposed to. I get emails from parents talking about what these kids are exposed to. This is weird. Be very, very cautious on what your kids are playing now online. I mean that sincerely. There's a lot of really weird stuff on here.
I'm going to step this up one notch, okay? I don't like talking about this.
I don't like talking about it either, but somebody sent me this, and I didn't realize this was this big of a platform.
I talked about it a little bit. I'm not talking about Roblox now. I'm talking about other things. There are a lot of predators online.
Yes.
Okay? And they prey on young girls that are basically just
and young boys.
But let me share this with you. And so I have a friend of mine whose sister ended up, a young girl, 19 years old, met this guy, and I found out yesterday that he was a Sabbath day Kabbalah, Luciferian synagogue of Satan boy who likes free air.
Of course he does.
Okay? And he had been mixed up with mafia groups up out of New York and New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm not going to mention any names here. The crazy part about it was he was putting her on Xanax and having her watch these horrible movies to reprogram her brain.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Xanax will do it, too. It shuts off different parts of the brain.
Okay, so listen to me. There are people out there that prey on your children,
yeah.
And they're perverts. I mean, they're really sick people. So you tell your daughters and you tell your sons, if they're going to start meeting people online,
oh, yeah.
They better be careful. Mm-hmm. And so this person basically had given this girl a car to drive, and the person took the car away. And so yesterday, her sister was with her at a car lot to buy her a new car, and she decided to call up her pervert friend who was doing all this. And now we realize that she's suffering from, you know, the what's it called, Austin, when you start to go?
Stockholm Syndrome.
And she basically can't break herself free from this because she's been so heavily programmed with the Xanax and the drugs. That's what this Robolux does.
Yeah, well, video games are the same type of dopamine trigger.
Because what's going to happen is they're going to start meeting people online, these Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan weirdos that think that all these perversions are good because it's supposed to bring in their snake god faster. It started with Sabbatean Zevi in 1666. And they don't realize that their children are prey.
Yeah.
P-R-E-Y. That these people come after these young kids to try to program them to become perverts as they are so they can become just as much a child of hell as they are. You think, well, God, Ted, that's strong. I don't know what to say. It's so messed up in this world now. It really, really is. So that's why when I read that all these kids in England now often are starting to do so much more going to church and accepting Christ, I realize that, you know, the world has looked at these quote-unquote solution sets with all this perversion and have realized that it's not what they want. It really isn't. Nobody wants to be in a weird situation like this when you stop and think about it. But now they're finally to realize that, you know, knowing Jesus and becoming a born-again Christian and loving God and serving the Most High God is the highest calling we're ever going to have. What did Solomon say, Austin, in Ecclesiastes? He said, now he finally realizes that serving God, obeying his commandments is the sole duty of man. I think it was the last verse of Ecclesiastes. And that's really important we understand. And that, because if you've got a God-shaped vacuum on the inside of you that only God can fill, you can't fill it with perversion and get any kind of choice. And then she found out that this guy had done it to another girl, Austin, and when she got to the age of about 25, 30, 40 years, about 25, 30, he dumped her for another younger one, another teenager, and now she basically is strung out on cocaine and she works in a strip club. Her whole life is ruined.
Yeah. When then the problem is, it's starting with a lot of this stuff because this stuff wasn't even around. Say to Louisiana now.
Right, here another one. Look at this.
Louisiana is suing Roblox months after Hindenburg alleges pedophile hellscape, breeding ground for sexual predators. They said everything from games show up on their Escape to Epstein Island, public bathroom simulator, Diddy Party, including child gang rape. This is a dark topic. This Roblox is a dark, dark hole now that's getting worse. I had no idea it was this bad. The reason why I'm bringing it up, they said it covers everything from digital strip clubs to red light districts to child predators.
It's grooming.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it says here. They're grooming minors.
And I guarantee you this, and now listen to me, please, everybody listen to me. I guarantee you, you go back to who's doing this, who runs this company, it's going to be Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan wackos.
Yeah,
I guarantee it always is. It always goes back to this group. It always does because they're the ones who lead the perversion. They're the ones that run the pornography industry and have run the pornography industry since it started on the internet. This is unbelievable what we've got here. And now this is getting even worse.
So, yeah, protect your children at all costs, especially with online stuff. It's switching gears to something kind of a little bit lighter on here. The USDA is ending funding for solar and wind projects on farmland.
It's about time.
It's about time. The decision
dangerous
falls.
Things.
Well, the Interior Department scaling back it's low energy efficient. Is it? Can you put it together? Yes. Can it work okay for certain things? Yeah. The problem is it's not cost effective. It costs significantly more money to build, operate, and maintain this equipment with these solar farms than it actually produces. That one movie with, I forgot the guy's name. It was Landman. I watched that first season of it. It was the oil guys out in Texas. And he goes into detail on one. And if you like those shows, he goes into detail about how the only reason they use the solar farms out there is to get subsidies and to produce enough power to run basically the equipment so they can basically run the oil pumps. He said they're completely, totally lost. The cost, enormous amount of money. They don't make any money. They don't even generate enough power.
So much oil for lubrication. It's unbelievable.
Oh, and then they sling it everywhere, too. You get oil all over the place. He said the pads, the concrete pads that they have to build to hold these things up with the footers is enormous. And then all the equipment and all the maintenance. And the problem with this is, too, my gosh, has it ruined the landscape.
Oh, my gosh. Germany and Austria.
Oh, you go out there, and I mean, the birds. I mean, like, nothing can live around them anymore. But since millions of acres of prime farmland is left unusable, so the Green New Deal subsidized solar panels can be built. Destruction of farms and prime soils taking away from the futures of next generation farmers and future of our country. So they're rolling all this stuff back now and cutting the subsidies on it. Because remember, this stuff wasn't cost effective the same way with the EV mandates. The market would have never done this. You would have not gone in and start producing $100,000 EV vehicles.
What's so stupid? Well, Porsche, $220,000 EV to cash. That's worth $60,000 now, year old.
Drops off like a rock. The production of those massively slowed down.
Well, they can't get rid of them.
Move them.
And the crazy part about it is Tesla said there's enough energy in the atmosphere.
Nikola Tesla
said there's enough energy in the atmosphere that you don't even have to have gasoline-powered vehicles. They can run on batteries. They can run on batteries and charge
pull the energy out of the ether.
And J.P. Morgan, when he built the Working Cliff Tower, okay, when he built that thing, he said, I could transmit free energy anywhere. And supposedly, when Tunguska, when that happened over there in Russia, he transmitted free energy into Russia, and it created a scalar uplink, and it created a giant explosion, and literally hundreds of thousands of trees were destroyed when it finally touched down on the other side of the planet, if you believe the planet is round.
Yep.
Now, the question I've got is this. We're going to go here for a second.
All right.
You know, light goes in a straight line.
Yeah.
How does it?
Oh, gosh.
How does it bend around the curvature with an energy beam? I just thought I'd mention that. Now, for all of you people who like me to talk about that, you can send me the positive letters, and the rest of you can say, why are you saying that again? It's so untrue. No, I'm asking you, Rob. Let me ask you a question. If I take a laser, and I put it in a straight line, is it going to bend around the Earth? Or is it going to go off into space?
I just want to know why I'm not allowed to go to Antarctica.
Why can't we go to Antarctica?
Everybody tells me no. Every time I try to get permits for it, like, no, you can't go down. There's classified, it's military bases.
So funny.
But there's nothing there but penguins that are migrating, I thought. That's what I was told.
Here's some good news up by Chicago. Some dude thought he was all that. Listen to this. This guy named Hurd was freed on parole in February this year over a slew of previous burglary convictions. He basically said, you better watch out, you know, when you cross the street because I'm there looking for you. You know, he says, I'm that guy. I'm going to be there for you all of the time. And he goes, you better look both ways before you cross me. Yeah.
He's
like that guy in New York that you choked out at that party.
Started drinking and they just need a bullet.
Yeah,
so I didn't say that. So I'm sorry.
Austin was at a party one time before he got, you know, saved and walking with God, and some black guy walked up to some white boy and sucker punched him and was banging his head on the concrete. And Austin jumped on top of the big black guy and choked him out unconscious.
I did. Broke my ribs. He fell back on me.
Yeah, but then the cops came and said, Austin, save the guy's life.
Yeah.
But so this guy, you better look both ways before you cross the street. So this burglar who said that was killed by a mother protecting her baby during a home invasion is identified. And his past is terrifying. A burglar shot and killed by a mother as she hid her baby in the closet during a home invasion was a serial criminal who only recently been freed from jail. So, I mean, what in the heck? I mean, so I'm really happy that somebody in Chicago finally had a gun outside of Chicago in Joliet, and they actually came in, and she hid the baby, and then he came upstairs and went into the bedroom, and she put a bullet in his head.
Well, the thing about it
well-placed shot, by the way.
There's some people that are just so reprobate, there is no redeeming value to them. It's a civilized society. They really have to stay incarcerated their entire life. They cannot function properly. I'm just being honest with you. They have no useful purpose without completely changing their life and being saved by Christ Almighty. If they stay on the same road they're on, they have no ability to function in civilization. They can't. This is the reason why we used to have public lynchings in the old Western days. It was a physical, mental, visual deterrent to show everyone, if you want to run around, you want to do bodily harm to people, you want to go rob people, you want to go to home invasions, we're going to execute you if you're convicted. I don't have a better problem with that, because we start going into having these people that are this bad and they go, well, you know, the death penalty for this. Well, what's better? that this guy comes in here. He comes in here and kills the mom, kills the baby. That's okay. You'd rather have that happen than him get shot for being a complete and total lunatic doing a home invasion? Absolutely not. Good riddance to him.
Yeah.
I mean, they have no place in civilized society with that type
of
behavior.
Well, you know, I remember.
You can't be breaking into people's houses
and
trying to kill them.
I remember when I took my concealed weapons permit training many decades ago, and the guy said to this, and I knew this already because I worked in a bar when I was young.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? He said, there are people out there that don't have any remorse. They're psychopaths.
No.
If they go out and they shoot you and kill you for $5.
That's exactly right.
People aren't like that. I'm telling you something, friends. I remember one night I was in the bar with my mom, and I was young. I was probably about 13 years old. And it's a German beer tavern. It's a nice little place, but every once in a while you get a weirdo come in. And there was a guy named Rufus came in, and he was playing pool. And some guy walks in and says, I need a six-pack of beer to go. And Rufus says to him, why do you think you're too good to drink with us? You know, I've got my wife and my kids in the car. I just want to take some beer home, and that's it. Rufus walked out of the parking lot, started an argument with him, pulled a blade out and gutted him right in the parking lot, right in front of me. I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, what the heck? See, this is the kind of person that you don't want to associate with, Austin.
No.
And I mean, Rufus, when he was sober, he was nice. But there's two kind of drunks that I found. Ones that get real nice when they get drunk, and ones that get really mean when they get drunk. And Rufus was a mean drunk. He's a big boy. He's about 6'6", Austin.
Yeah.
And he's scary. He was so big. The problem is that there are more people like Rufus out there than you possibly imagine, including this crazy guy who did this. Chase topic. Matthew Perry, he died of a drug overdose. His drug dealer, who's dubbed the Ketamine Queen, now takes a plea deal because she supplied the fatal dose to him. Jasmine Shanka, known to her customers as the Ketamine Queen, has made a plea deal in connection with the October 2023 drug overdose of Matthew Perry at the age of 54. Shanghai was initially facing a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years in the federal prison, but under the plea agreement, the mandatory minimum sentence has been lifted, allowing her to potentially receive a sentence of less than 10 years in her role of Perry. Shanghai, a native of North Hollywood, California, is not expected to testify other related cases, the source says. The Friends actor was found dead face down in his jacuzzi back on October the 29th, 2023, leaving Hollywood shaken to its core after he bravely shared details of his addiction struggles to the public to dissuade others from following a similar path. You know, the sad part about this stuff is this. Just because you've got money doesn't mean you don't have a problem with addictions.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you have money doesn't mean you don't have a problem with alcoholism. All money does is makes you more of what you already are. It's a magnifying glass. If you're inclined to drink, you can drink a lot. If you're inclined to use ketamine, you obviously can get too much ketamine. So Matthew Perry, even though he was super successful, super rich, and super well-known, super famous, and all the rest, had all of these personal demons that he was trying to take care of with drugs. That's why you've got to have a relationship with Christ Jesus. That's why you need to be in church, doing communion. That's why I'd be listening to good sermons every week, because it keeps your mind straight and it keeps you focused on the things that are really, really important. It really does, Austin. What do you think? You got to know. You got something else coming up. What you got?
22nd Marine Expeditionary Unit is being deployed against the Mexican cartel.
4,500 Marines?
Oh, yeah. This is the Marine Expeditionary Unit. These guys are wild. This isn't MARSOC. They're not raiders, but these guys are very well-versed in everything. If you pull it up, they got ground command. They have aviation capabilities. They will be deploying F-35s.
I love that plane.
Oh, my gosh.
I like the F-22 better, but the F-35 is a great aircraft.
Yep. The image watch from MARSOC, and they said, dude, we need a low flyover, show of force immediately. And dude, this F-16 comes in. I mean, he's probably 100, 200 feet off the ground. I mean, it wrecks the whole street. I mean, everything's up in just dust, debris, car parts, building roofs, everything all over the place.
Well, no, that airflow underneath those planes is huge. You know, you think about it. You know, you stand by the interstate, you know, or close to it on a highway, and you feel a semi-truck go by.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever been on the side of the road, a flat tire, and semi-truck pass you, 70?
Yeah, that's 70.
70.
that's not 1,700.
No.
You know, and plus these planes are coming through there with this giant air envelope underneath. This is why it was impossible, I'm going to say this again, on 9/11 for that 757 or whatever was supposed to be flying at the Pentagon to intercept the Pentagon at 600 miles an hour at treetop levels.
Because possible.
The plane can't do that. There's too much air pressure underneath the plane. It won't go that low at that speed.
The plane has enormous lift because of the weight that it can carry and all that.
Well, and plus, remember, those planes fly fast, but they fly fast at 35, 40,000 feet with
exactly
the air thinner.
Right.
They can't go that fast at those low speeds. They can't do it. And I can't even imagine how difficult it would be to handle one of those giant jets at full throttle at 100 feet above the ground.
Treetop levels.
Oh, they were taking
out 600 miles an hour.
Oh, yes. They were taking out streetlights. Okay, whatever. Nobody believes that.
Nobody even saw that. There's
no
footage of that.
And finally, all the footage around the Pentagon was seized, remember? And there were no titanium engines, and there were no wing marks. And all the debris was cleaned up in like 48 hours.
Where are the bodies?
Where's the luggage?
Where's
the landing gear?
It's supposed to be a full plane.
No.
There would have been body parts everywhere because the thing is it came in so low it'll just disperse corpses everywhere.
You know, and the crazy part about it is, you know, Rumsfeld had just announced the day before that they had lost $2.3 trillion.
Couldn't account for it.
And the area of the Pentagon that was hit by what I believe was a missile destroyed the accounting and the people working in there that had found a $2.3 million shortage. Just thought I'd mention that to you guys. So that whole thing with 9/11 is not at all. And you know the thing about it is, Austin, it was like the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
Oh, we had the bullet turned around and went the other direction. Okay, great. I mean, the Warren report was stupid. But yet people just said, okay, whatever. And we see this over and over and over again. But 9/11 was the worst example of lies of the government that the United States and the population just finally accepted. It really was awesome. I've never seen anything like it before, what we did. And that was, by the way, 9/11 is what turned me into who I am today as far as I started questioning the narrative with everything.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, where's the photo? Yeah, that was the giant plane wreck inside the Pentagon.
Where are the wing marks?
Yeah.
Where are the planes? Where's the landing gear? This thing's got a wingspan of a couple hundred feet. Why are there not wing holes over here on both sides? And when you saw it initially before it collapsed, there was a round hole, and that's all there was. Just a round hole. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may have taken and scrubbed the internet from all that.
No, but there's never been a single photo of
there it is right
airplanes.
There
yeah.
Right there, that's the one with the round hole right there. Look at that. Now where's the rest of the plane? FBI releases photos. Now then they show the roof collapses because of that. Come on, guys, give me a break.
No, that was wild.
No, it's just, you know.
There was a video that was around. There was one security footage from the guard shack.
They released it to the Freedom of Information Act.
Yep.
There was no plane.
No. You see a rocket come in, missile come in, and boom.
No. And that's when General Stubblebine said, he goes, I worked with intelligence with the military. And he goes, I can tell you right now, I don't know what hit the Pentagon, but I'll tell you what it wasn't.
It wasn't a plane.
That's
right. We said that. Anyways, we go down this conspiracy theory rabbit hole here.
He was the one who was involved with that book that was written, The Men That Stare at Goats.
Was he?
Yeah, that's an interesting book if you want to read one.
The Men That Stare at Goats. That was all that CIA crap, too, from the, what was it?
They were using
MKUltra.
They were using mental telepathy, and they had one guy that was able to do it. He was able to stare at this goat and stop the goat's heart and kill it. Just to give you need to read the book. It's the craziest stuff you've ever heard. But they were using Lucifer to do that, by the way. Just thought I'd mention that in case you want me to spoil it for you. I just did. There you go. General Zelensky, General Pervert Zelensky is called to the principal's office. This is so funny.
The principal's office.
And, you know, here's what's happened to it. Today's meeting in the White House was about preparing Zelensky to realize that he's no longer going to be, you know, the head of Ukraine. And his European backers are going to be aware of who's going to control it. That may require cutting Europe down to size, as Patricia Marins points out on posts on X. Russia matters a lot more to the U.S. strategically than Europe, and especially than your Ukraine. Trump may not make this point to them explicitly, but he provides context as to why he wants to end the war and normalize relations with Russia. He goes, one of our system's top names on Friday was a drone manufacturer. This is what Mark said. She goes, I have trade teas of another top names on Friday. I don't think the market's fully priced the possibility of Trump ending the Ukraine war. If you want to add downside protection, there's a reminder, you can use Portfolio Armor website. She starts talking about what's going to happen to the stock market if this happens. Here's the important part. far beyond Trump or anyone else, there's a project of U.S. hegemony that transcends White House terms and encapsulates American interests. Russia does not threaten the U.S. hegemony today as the Soviet Union once did, but China, with over 1.3 billion people with a robust economy, boasting the largest industrial base on the planet, does threaten the U.S. hegemony. Washington knows China is a true adversary, especially the military. The Chinese are flying fighter prototypes of a generation ahead of Americans, launching missiles a generation ahead, with radars nearly a generation and a half ahead, and dominating the gallium market. In naval terms, China's production capacity is vast, and combined with Russia's, it may account for over 60% of global military shipbuilding when it's considered submarines. The U.S. has unmatched industrial transformation capacity, but it needs to control the technological gap, partially by separating Russia from China. Now, here, I'm going to stop here for a second. I could read the rest of this article to you, but I'm not going to, and you could read it. Russia and China are controlled by the same Kabbalist, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan, banking people, the J.P. Morgan Group, the same group that brought us the Federal Reserve, brought the Federal Reserve to Russia and to China. So the entire world is controlled by this sick, perverted group. Always remember that. So when you hear about this problem with Russia or this problem with China, this is part of the three-wing, 25-ring circus that we've got going on to show you this stuff, to keep you in fear of China, to keep you in fear of Russia. It's all controlled by the same people. This is the group that runs the planet. This is the group that took down Building 7. This is the one that gave this group of people now in the military, the Marines, the go-ahead to go ahead and go into these Latin American countries and to stop the drug trade because, quite frankly, we're losing our black ops operation money.
Yeah,
too many other drugs are being made with fentanyl.
Too, I think the fentanyl's gotten out of control. I think the CIA can't even control the fentanyl anymore.
I think it's too much of it.
That's what I'm saying. I think because it's so stinking strong and it's topical. You have law enforcement that are ODing, just doing, you know, checks on people on arrest, that I think they're realizing that this is not functional. This product has been pulled off.
This isn't the Medellin drug cartel anymore.
No.
This stuff could be manufactured in a lab in somebody's basement.
Well, it's all chemicals.
That's
it's all synthetic. It's not heroin. They're not having to produce it and process poppy and everything
and
else.
And what's funny is this is why we left Afghanistan, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we didn't need to have all those poppy fields in Afghanistan anymore because it cost too much to produce it when you produce fentanyl for pennies on the dollar compared to heroin.
Exactly right.
And you can produce as much as you possibly want, and that's what they have to do. They've got to cut supply down. That's why they're doing this, in my opinion. And if you watch that movie Sicario, it talks about this in detail. Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting.
What are you doing?
You guys are going to love me on this. This is a little spinoff here that I found. This is crazy. This shows you the level of insanity in Washington State here. I'm going to pull this up. This is crazy. I just had it here. I was standby. Well,
I'm going to do another story.
Well, I had it.
Sudden death skyrocket among COVID vax pilots.
Ah,
okay. So we'll do this one, and we'll let Austin find his story.
I got it.
Okay. What do you want to do?
You know yours.
A chilling new analysis revealed that sudden deaths among younger airline pilots continue to surge years after the COVID vaccine mandates were imposed across the aviation industry. The findings are raising alarm about the growing pilot health crisis with direct implications for passenger safety. Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, a retired airline captain with 33 years of experience and an immunology educator, is warning that the data cannot be ignored. He points to a spike in early pilots' deaths, a wave of incapacitations, and disturbing rise in near-miss incidences is evidence that the industry is facing a crisis unlike anything it's ever seen. Since 2021, early pilot deaths, those occurring before retirement age, have jumped by 40%, Austin.
Wow.
That's huge. Alarmingly, the sudden death crisis is still raging among vaccinated pilots through 2025. At the same time, long-term disabilities among pilots have tripled, sidelining aviators who once passed rigorous health screenings without issue. Even more alarming is the surge in near-miss aviation events. What was more once a statistical rarity of just one per year at the Washington National Airport for 2021 has skyrocketed to 28 near misses this year alone.
Wow.
Used to be one a year. Now it's 28. Yet, instead of addressing the crisis, federal officials have made it harder to track. The FFA's incapacitation of data registry, which has provided transparency into the pilot health emergencies, was quietly discontinued in 2022. It's kind of like getting rid of the records again.
There you go.
The decision left the industry without any centralized system for monitoring or investigating incapacitations, effectively burying. That's a hard word for me to say. That's odd, isn't it? Burying critical safety data that could prevent disaster. Stillwagon argues that mandates themselves broke FAA rules from the outset, forcing the pilots to be vaccinated. Federal medical standards explicitly bar pilots from using experimental products. You know that, Austin?
Yep.
Yet COVID mRNA shot, which were rushed through under emergency authorizations, were forced on entire flight crews under threat of job loss. The consequences, he warns, have been devastating. Studies have confirmed that the mRNA injections cause vascular and neurological damages, leading to myocarditis, seizures, brain fog, and sudden cardiac events. For pilots, even a split-second lapse can have catastrophic consequences. He's right about that, by the way. Modern aircraft may track every mechanical fluctuation in real time, but the pilot, the most important component in the cockpit, remains the least monitored and most at risk. Stillwagon alerted the public about the crisis during a new interview with the McCullough Foundation. To restore aviation safety, he says we have to have urgent reforms. He calls for outright ban on mRNA shots for pilots, air traffic controllers, and flight crews. Now, he says we have 28 near misses this year. A lot of this is not the pilot. It's basically the guys in the control towers who are having lapses in judgment also and not trained. This morning, I spoke to one of my flight instructors. I've known the man for many years, and he wants me to start flying again, so I told him I was going to. And what was interesting.
You need to.
Yeah, I need to. And what he said to me was interesting. He goes, Ted, he goes, we have a lot of new pilots now who can't get jobs.
Really?
What happens, there was a huge shortage when all these pilots retired 5 years ago because they refused to take the COVID shot. And also all these people went to the air traffic control school and basically pilot school. And so now there's a glut of pilots on the market and they can't get jobs. And the pilot and the people who were trained in mechanics and, you know, in repairing of the aircraft, they can't get jobs. All of this stuff has happened now because so many people are going to go into this, quote, lucrative field of being a pilot for a major airline. And now they learned that everybody else thought they're going to do the same thing. So it's a major problem that we have. And this here's the problem. These people, a lot of them have 400 or 500 hours, and they want to go fly for a major airline.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you could get brought on to a major airline with about 1,000 hours, but then now they're learning that they can't get paid anything, and they could have made more money as a flight instructor.
Yeah.
So that's why they're in the situation that they're in right now, and that's why we have so many young pilots coming in who aren't fully trained as far as what they need to be on simulators and a real-world experience in these airplanes running these doggone jets. It's a problem. It really is.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is there's been so many issues now, too. A lot of people are losing, I mean, they're losing faith in the, you know, the entire airline industry. I mean, with planes falling apart and wheels falling off.
That was DEI. Yeah, that was DEI.
And overall, in general, though, majority of people look at it as an overall airline problem.
You know, the thing that bothers me, and it really bothers me a lot, is that Biden was the guy who came. Well, Biden didn't do anything. No. The Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian synagogue of Satan, who consider Ein Sof to be their god, who's a hermaphrodite, wanted everybody to be hermaphroditic and be a transgender. And because they ran the White House under Biden, they run the White House pretty much under everybody, they decided to push this DEI agenda with everybody, including pilots and including workers at Boeing and major corporations.
Everywhere.
Now here's the problem that I've got with all this. Why did they have the right to tell an employer, Boeing or any other employer, you have to hire an unqualified person because they think they're a female or they think they're a male? They don't know what they are.
Right.
They have gender dysphoria. Why in the world do you have the right, if I own a company or if I'm a stockholder in that company, to say to my employers or my staff or anybody who works there, you have to hire this person though they're not qualified?
I got the answer.
What's the answer?
Because BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard were the major shareholders of all the airline industries, and Larry Fink came out and blatantly said, we are going to push DEI on everyone, and everyone is going to accept
because
it.
Because Larry Fink is a Sabbatean Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue
there
of Satan.
There you go. Nailed it on the head. When you have the major shareholders of your company come in and say, by the way, this is a new company mandate. We're hiring trannies because, you know what? we think it's a great idea. The problem is it's backfired on them because the vast majority of the general population is sick of being told we have to love something that makes no sense. Somebody, here's the thing. If somebody's got gender dysphoria, if they got a mental issue, get help for them. Seriously, get help for them. But I don't have to sit there and go along with the lunacy and agree to it either. That's the big difference. So,
well, you know, here's the thing. If listen to these Kabbalist people. They believe their God's a snake, okay, in a tree.
We got a lot of them down here in Florida, bro. So, I mean, if you want to come hang out with snakes, come to the Everglades. You'll see how fun 20-foot pythons really are.
They wear that red bracelet around their wrist, okay? Many of them. A lot of them stopped doing that because it signals who they are. The problem with it is, with that red bracelet, it says, I believe that God's a snake, he's the hermaphrodite, and I want everybody to be like my God, the snake. And that's why they force people to hire. Man, we're out of time.
You guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Make sure you grab the EyeSight on sale right now. That's on sale for product of the week. And be sure to grab the collagen if you want to try the 10-ounce or 20-ounce cans. We got it on the website. Team Health Masters, write us, call us, email us. We appreciate you guys. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always, on this show.
And always keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. I love you. Guys, thanks for your support.